Yes, sir. Yes,
You
sir.
got
Yes,
it.
sir. We are
Right.
live, coming at you live on tape. Short in person with my man Blockhead in the
That's
building.
right. That's right.
It's been a while. It's been a while since we did this. I guess we did
Yes.
before the season started.
Yep.
Do you have what we actually chose back in those days?
I remember my AFC North predictions and they were not correct. And I predicted the freaking Washington football team to win the
NFC
NFC
East, really?
East. Yeah, so that was also just horribly wrong.
Well, I guess we can't call them the football team anymore. They have a name now,
Oh
the
shit, look at
Commanders.
that. Oh God. Whatever. It was never gonna be, no one's ever gonna be happy with what they chose. So I mean, it is what it is.
A lot of Washington fans not very thrilled with the name at all. I think
It'll be
it'll be
fine.
okay. I like the alternate jersey and uniform situation they have with the black helmets and the black motif. I think that's pretty cool. But
I like the red, white, and blue uniform they had.
yeah.
I thought, was it red, white, and blue? It was white with
It
red.
was so it's, I think it's white, red.
Was it black?
And I think it has like a hint of black, but they took the yellow out.
They took the yellow out, yeah.
Yeah. So
They made it look
it's a little bit
more,
different.
yeah, it made it look a lot more like a Washington Capitals-y, you know, like
Yeah,
the,
yeah.
yeah, which is sweet, so.
It's. I mean, that would be smart because I believe the Wizards also have that same color scheme. So.
Bro, I was really hoping that they would like just get in line with everybody else, all the DC teams, and like do a nice red, white, and blue color scheme because all the other teams are pretty good branding. Like,
Yeah. What you gonna do, right?
I wanted to show you, dude. I got my my RMF engineering
Oh, look at
paper.
that. Look
That's
at
what
that. Yeah.
these Super Bowl notes are written down on.
Nice. The classic.
That's right.
So what are your thoughts on this game coming up? Just how the two teams got there, the Rams and the Bengals.
That's
Imagine
right.
that.
That's not my first point is the journey. Neither of these teams were they're not the favorites, right?
No,
Like
not at
out of
all.
the NFC, everyone expected either Tampa or Green Bay. And out of the AFC, it was either Buffalo or Kansas City. So these guys, I mean, they didn't come out of nowhere, but certainly were not the favorites.
You know, it's funny, the Rams, they kind of had the writing on the wall at the end of last season when they made the trade for Stafford and then all the other moves that they made throughout the season, picking up people, making trades, they were all in.
They were.
So it's actually kind of good to see it finally, something like this finally come to fruition, where they've made it to the stage. Now they just have to get past that and actually get the dub,
That
and
last
we'll
time
see
they
how
were
that
here,
goes.
last time they were here, they scored 3 points or whatever
Yeah,
it
three
was.
whole points.
Yeah. And that's a good point too, that you know, especially if you ask someone probably week six, the Rams might have been the pick for the Super Bowl, but then you know they kind of wavered into the latter half of the season, but they're back now, so
Yeah,
good for them.
it was quite a weird season if you sit back and think
It
about it. A lot
was.
of it was up and down a lot. Just
Man, and Green
locally
Bay.
here. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh. You're good. I'm saying Green Bay was the only, really the only consistent team, and they didn't lose to. I mean, they lost to the Niners, and that's not even. They have Jimmy G, right? Like that's not as if they lost to like a world beater.
Right.
So
Debo killed him.
they lost to Debo. That's a good point. Yeah, they
Yes.
lose to Jimmy G. That's a good point too. The Baltimore team. Oh, good
At
God,
one point
man.
they were the number one team in the AFC, and then they lost eight
And then
straight
proceeded to
games.
not win another game.
That is rough.
And to think they needed to win one. They needed to win one game, pretty
Just
much, to squeak
one
in.
game. Yeah. Even at
Yeah.
the end, they were
Even at the end.
close. You know, had things worked out. I think it was all coming down to where, had they won that last game, they would have squeaked in, I think.
Well, I think they would have.
That last game still had to end in a tie or something for them to get in. Because remember that whole...
Correct. Oh, Raiders, that was a moment.
Raiders Chargers situation.
That was a moment. yeah, you're right. If that would have tied, the Rams would have won, and then they would have tied. Then
yeah,
they would have gotten in. So they were about 3 seconds away in a win away
right.
from making the playoffs if they had won one game.
One game. Imagine that.
Whew. But also, Lamar went down for way longer than we thought. What? That right. He missed 4 games? 5 games, maybe?
At the end, I think it did end up being five. And that one game that was just ridiculous, where they had to get Josh Johnson.
Bro, I was thinking that if I was in the office with you guys when that game was happening, we would have been on like his Pro Football Reference page, like 8 pages back, looking at see where this guy's been.
That's pretty much what we did. He's been around the league for quite some time.
Anyway, back to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
The one big thing that stands out to me about this game is the head coaches and how different they are.
Okay.
We got Sean McVay, who, you know, NFL golden boy. Everybody knows he's like a great coach. Right, exactly. Like, he's a heartthrob. Like, household name at this point. Everything he touches turns to gold. And then there's Zach Taylor, who, like, I mean, is there a less talked about head coach in the NFL?
Right,
like,
who could be coach of the year. But
who could be coach of the year?
Right.
And I'm going to be real. I don't even, like... Even now, I feel like no one's talking about him for the Bengals. No one's talking about Joe Burrow.
Not at all. Not at all, right.
Honestly, I might not even know what he looks like. Like, he doesn't even get thrown up on the games. Is he a leader?
If he walked in this room right now with a sign that said, "Hi, I'm Zach Taylor,"
says Zach on him.
I would not believe it.
So I don't even what does he do? Does he call plays? I don't even know.
I feel like he was a defensive guy, but I can't even.
Is he even offense or defense?
I don't know where he came from or anything. And I think this team won 2 games last year, or was it last year they won 2 games?
Yeah, because Burrow got injured. It's pretty early on.
Yeah.
So 2 or 3, something like that.
Yeah, and they came all, and they've come all the way back to again reach the pinnacle, and it's a strong possibility that they could pull it out.
Young core,
yeah,
and they could be back. They seem like they'll stick around for a bit. I really have no idea what's going on with Zach Taylor. Like, he just, I don't know if is it the fact that he isn't that good, so that's why he's not getting any attention in all of this, or is it just. He's just under the radar, low key type of guy who really.
I think that part, and it might be a good thing for him, because, you know, nobody's shoving cameras in his face and microphones in his mouth. I think even when, you know, they had the whole controversy about them running up the score on the Ravens and stuff like that, they talked to all the players, never once talked to him to see what his thoughts were on it or any of that stuff. You know.
Yeah.
Which, again, all that stuff comes from the head coach. So that's going to be a nice little rivalry around here for a couple of years, I guess.
He really did dodge all responsibility on that, didn't he?
He did, yes. Yes.
So, yeah, I'm not sure Zach Taylor's a real human. Who knows?
He's a robot.
Who knows, like, what this guy is doing? He's, I don't know. He's like, right. Definitely not the face of that team.
No, not at all.
So it's an interesting situation there. Yeah, exactly. I guess moving to more like gameplay wise, the few things that I'm looking out for, I have Rams defensive line versus Bengals offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
We all saw that the Bengals managed to win versus Tennessee, I think it was, despite getting sacked 9 times.
That is insane. Yes.
And typically a sack is a drive killer or really close to one, right? Facing a third and long, and then if you're facing a third and long, you don't usually get it.
Mm-hmm.
So this Rams defensive line can generate some good pressure. Obviously, they have Aaron Donald. So that'll be a matchup to look out for. See how that influences the game.
The trenches. I think the trenches will definitely control this.
And also, Bengals' underrated running attack. Joe Mixon is pretty good.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Yeah. And so we'll see how that plays itself out, too. So I am very curious to see how that goes. You know, but we also saw the Bengals win despite getting sacked 9 times. So
Right.
They were able to fight through it once.
It was a little bit different because Tennessee's offense is definitely not the same as the Rams. So
fair.
So I think if McVay doesn't panic, because he had a bit of a panic in that championship game, giving up all his challenges very early on, losing timeouts, and you could clearly see that he was going through some things on the sideline. So if he can keep his composure, then everything should be fine, because I think he does call the plays.
Yes.
So I think I've always had my issues with head coaches who do that. I understand that's your strength, but at some point you have to be the head coach and you have to manage the game. So you can't get your emotions into it and start throwing the red flag all over the place, because
it can bite you.
Yeah.
And we saw that happen in the Niners game. Like, the Niners were outperformed in the first half by a lot and were winning at halftime.
Right.
So, you know, the Rams really did start slow, and they started slow a few times in this playoffs. And even in the season, you know, we saw them falter, like lose some games maybe they shouldn't have. Right. So they are favored in this game. We'll talk about that later. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they're no juggernaut here that's infallible.
Right, just to bring it on back to what we saw here at the end of the season. They did come here and barely squeaked by Ravens team who had a shit ton of players on injury reserve, starting backups all over the place. They had some random dudes playing corner, brought some people in from retirement to play safety.
Ended up being like our highest graded defensive player or something when he did. Like,
Yeah. So it was and then they turned right around and gave it up to San Francisco to end the season, which is how San Francisco even got into the playoffs. So like you said, sometimes they can get on a low end. Yeah.
I think my friend actually pointed out something that I thought was a pretty accurate representation of this game. The Rams have kind of been playing below their talent level, and they have tons of talent, but you know, they've been playing, getting in their own way a lot. Whereas the Bengals have almost the opposite. They have, you know, above average talent, but nothing crazy. But they are playing all the way up to their potential.
Yes.
Like, they're hitting it out of the park most times.
Yes.
So that's very interesting. Another matchup that I think is going to be really fun to watch is Ja'Marr Chase versus Jalen Ramsey.
Oh, yeah.
That could shame up to be almost the story of the game.
Do you think Ramsey's going to shadow him on every play? Disguise coverages? What do you think?
Well, let's think. Because Ramsey, what type of coverage does Ramsey usually play? He's usually a man corner, is he not?
Right. Yes.
So he has the ability to shadow. Now, I'm sure he prefers a side. A lot of those guys do. But I would predict, listen, Ja'Marr Chase is still a rookie, and Jalen Ramsey's hell of a player. I would predict they do take that risk and say, you know what, let's see if our guy can shut down your guy.
I agree, and if I was a defensive coordinator, that's the way I would play it. Like, listen, you're the guy. You say you're the guy. Everyone thinks you're the guy. You go out here and you shut this guy down. There's no more 200-yard freaking receiving days, especially in the Super Bowl, because, you know, that's a definite L if you let him get that, if you let him get loose and have that many yards. So definitely play him straight up, and for God's sakes, if he does catch the ball, get him on the ground.
Oh my God. You see all these, how many times have you seen it where, you know, the corner will take like a, you know, kind of like a step back once Ja'Marr Chase touches the ball, because they just want to like corral him and not really, they want to make a safe play, and all of a sudden he's just blazing down the middle of the field.
Right. You know, we kind of saw, or I guess some people saw, I didn't, but apparently that was two-hand touch and mm-hmm. no real tackles here in the Pro Bowl. And I think we saw a lot of that during the season where, we've all played football before, so we've all been taught the proper way to tackle. And mm-hmm. I think at some point, that just goes away once they get into the pros, and it's all this arm stuff. What is? I'm gonna give you a shoulder. Yeah, hopefully, you fall down. Shoulder.
Or they ankle bite.
Yeah.
no one wraps up.
Right. Right.
And let me tell you, sometimes, like when I play football, I'm not the biggest dude, so my thing was I was gonna wrap up no matter what, hold on for dear life. Yes. Like, listen, tackle's getting made one way or another. Now, right. Where it gets made. How long they drag you for, that's fine.
Yes, but I know that well.
Yeah, but I'm making the tackle at least, right? And sometimes that's all you need.
Like, yes, right. You get an assist. Get them on the ground. Yes.
Yeah. If it's a 12 yard gain or a 15 yard gain, who cares? But that's when it turns from a 12 yard gain to a,
touchdown. 50 yard touchdown. So, yeah. That can be a problem.
We'll see about that. I think if I had to predict, I would predict Ramsey would win this. They say receiver is one of those positions where rookies, still need time to develop. Mm-hmm. There's like some techniques and nuances that rookies don't have yet.
He's caught for the most yards in NFL history as a rookie. So
correct.
There's that.
Correct. That is true. But I'm just saying, like, Ramsey's a seasoned vet.
Right. And I think it all goes back to what we talked about. If the Rams defensive line, if that front seven is hustling and mm-hmm. getting Burrow off his game a little bit, then Chase doesn't start with the ball.
Exactly.
he has somebody gotta get there to get somehow. Him the ball. So if they can't get him the ball, then it doesn't even matter, right?
So. And if they know pressure, and if they know the ball's coming out quick, that can allow Ramsey to play even more aggressive,
Right,
like,
right.
If he knows that ball's coming out in 3 seconds or less, then he's going to be all up in his grill, and he's good at that too.
Yeah.
All right, and then the final thing is I think that the Bengals defense is a little underrated at the moment. They've been playing pretty well. They played the Kansas City, and they shut them down in the second half.
Yes.
They've been playing pretty consistently also throughout the season. So it'll be interesting to see. And like we said, Rams can start slow. So I wouldn't be surprised to see, closer game than people maybe think it will be. Who knows?
I'm kind of hoping for a close game, a close, exciting game. This is one of those Super Bowls where, I don't really have a favorite or have someone mm-hmm. that I'll be specifically cheering for. I think it's gonna win, which we'll talk about here in a second. So I'm just looking for something good. Like this has been a really good playoffs, so yes. I kind of want that to just continue through into the Super Bowl. That'd just be the best thing ever.
Definitely agree. And it also is kind of nice, like you said, you don't have a person to root for. I feel like these teams, LA's been there before, but certainly the Bengals, they're not like these big market guys, right? They're just mm-hmm. the Bengals. So it is kind of fun to see some teams you wouldn't expect to see in the Super Bowl, something new. It's not the Patriots, it's not the Chiefs representing the AFC. So how long has it been the Patriots and the Chiefs? Like forever.
right. So we'll take it. So
all right. Well, let's move on to the this is gonna be like I think the gambling / like picks section of the podcast
for informational purposes only for all those who are out here watching.
So you're in Maryland, so you actually don't have any of the apps, right? Like they don't let you do the sports betting apps in Maryland, right?
yes it just went through.
Oh really?
It just went through, I want to say last month maybe.
Dang, I didn't know that.
Maybe 2 months ago, something like that. Yeah.
All right, well
yeah,
stand corrected. So maybe you could do it if you wanted to,
yes,
have some fun. Because Colorado has had it.
Information purposes only.
Exactly. So let's start off with like the basic one.
Okay.
Rams are favored by 3.5. Mm. That's the line of the game as of right now. What's your lean, Dante? What do you think? I think it's a tough one.
Favored by 3.5. I'm going to take for that one. I'm thinking go Bengals on that.
All right. Bengals. Some,
yeah.
So are you taking them? Just, you know, this obviously doesn't matter in the grand scheme, but would you predict a Bengals victory or just a loss by less than 3.5?
I'm thinking a loss by less than 3.5.
Okay. Okay. If I had to predict, I would take the Rams to cover. So I'm thinking the Rams are going to be able to beat that 3.5. Not confident, but obviously put the line in a pretty good spot if we're him and Holland.
Right.
So I think – so where your thing comes in is I do foresee a slow start from the Rams. They've done a slow start a lot, and it's a big game, and I wouldn't be surprised if they do a slow start again. But the Bengals also had a slow start versus the Chiefs, so I don't know, man. I feel like I like the Rams in it. We'll see.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the big one. Now we got some fun little prop bets here.
Okay.
So some ones related to the game. Will there be a fourth quarter lead change? The odds here is that you bet 2 to win 5 if there is. So they're saying that there probably won't be, what the odds makers are saying.
Won't be a lead change in the fourth quarter?
Correct.
So whoever starts the fourth quarter in the lead is going to win the game. That's what they're saying. Wow.
So I think that's a pretty good bet. These games have been close.
Yes. I'm going to say there's definitely going to be a fourth quarter lead change.
I'm with you. And I might actually see if I can find that somewhere and
put some moolah down. Yeah. Put a couple of dollars down for me.
Sounds good. So we're both on yes on that one. If you think about playoff games, they're usually tight, even if the final score isn't representative like all the way.
Right.
All you need is a lead change.
I'm looking at this game, just thinking about how it's going to be tight. So I'm looking at the Rams were just there a couple years ago. And like you said, they only scored 3 points and that whole thing. They are all in. I think they don't have a first round pick until 2024. So, you know, all the pressure is on them. If they don't do it now, then it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
You have Stafford, who came from Detroit, who, you know, this is obviously his first time being in a big game, right? Then on the other side, you have third year quarterback, rookie second wide year. Receiver, you know, young offense. The whole offense is young. So
playing with house money is what you're saying.
So I'm thinking everybody's going to be tight on both sides. Because it's so young on this side and because it's so old on that side and they've been there before, I think everybody's going to come out tight. And then, you know, once they get through that first half, sit through the fantastic, phenomenal halftime show for 30 minutes.
Got some stuff about that.
Yes. And sit through that once they come out in the second half. It's going to be high flying and the ball is going to be thrown all over the field. And I think we're going to have some lead changes for sure in the fourth quarter.
All right. I like that. I think.
Yeah, man.
I would not be, you know, I think I would agree with you that that's how the game's going to go. All right. The next prop bet that I thought was interesting is the longest made field goal of the game. The over under is 47.5 yards.
Over.
Now, you would take the over. As I was going to say, the thing that I would, that you have to take into account is these coaches, you know, going for it has been more and more popular.
Before you get to the Super Bowl, sure. Once you get into the Super Bowl, you're looking to take points every chance you get. So if it gets close, if you get down to the 35 and in, you're kicking it.
Yeah.
Oh shit. Now that we talked about again with the tightness. The Bengals do have a rookie kicker.
They do.
Now he's been lighting it up, sure.
Yeah, he's been doing well. He's been very well.
This is a different situation. This is the Super Bowl, you know.
That's true. Man. So I'll take the under on this. I will say the stadium, it lends itself to the over, right? Because it's inside. It's not a dome, but it's inside, right? Because it has an open roof, I believe, or something like that.
Am I crazy? I think the way that it's built, I think you go in at the top and then go down. So it looks kind of funky.
Okay.
But it is definitely a dome, yes.
Okay. So obviously optimal kicking conditions.
Right.
So it would lend itself to the over. And also, you know, that longest field goal does also take into account, you know, maybe a game winner, like where you do need to post up from wherever, whenever you can.
Right.
So that could be also a consideration. I'll take the under. I have a feeling these guys are going to get to the, like, whatever, the 40-yard line and be like, you know what? We're so close. Let's just go.
Go for it. Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah, we'll see. I got to be reconsidering, honestly. And then another one. So the same odds as the fourth quarter lead change, bet $2 to win $5 if you say yes to this, is a special teams or defensive touchdown. Now, I just think it is funny to compare the two things. Like, is a special teams or defensive touchdown the same likeliness as a fourth quarter lead change? Apparently. But
yeah, I guess so.
But what do you think about that?
I'm thinking,
I don't know.
No.
You're thinking no?
I'm thinking
no. I would also agree with a no. Go ahead. Yeah.
I was gonna say the issue with special teams is we would be looking at a punt return, because obviously they're just going to kick the ball out of the end zone for all kickoffs. So we'd be looking at a punt return, and I'm thinking that, you know, they'll probably hang the punts high, you know, get a lot of fair catches and stuff like that. So that's out. As far as a defensive touchdown is concerned, well, for one, I don't think the Bengals defense.
Fair point. Their corners are not very well known.
Right. Now, of course, we could get a strip sack, return, you know, fumble return or anything like that. But I just don't see that happening from them. And I think, again, it goes back to the tightness. I think we're going to have a lot of, you know, runs right up the gut, you know, just, we need to soften up the defense. We need to probe the defense type of thing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of safe throws. I think both teams are going to be safe and tight. Taking no chances. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to lower the chances of a defensive touchdown.
I think that's fair. It's a good point about the Super Bowl. You know, teams definitely would more like, they play differently, right?
Yeah.
As much as they probably don't want to, they do, right?
Right.
So it's a fair
as point. As much as they say they're not going to.
Exactly. That's what you have to say. Yeah. So
yeah.
I think I concur. I think that's a good point too. Like, they try and play it safe in the Super Bowl. And I would also wonder when the last time that happened. Did they have one last year?
A defensive or a special teams touchdown?
Maybe. Because the Bucks did dominate on defense last year, but I don't know if they had a touchdown.
I don't know.
Yeah. We'll have to see. I wonder what that would be. Because I know some faraway ones that are famous, like the Devin Hester return or the James Harrison return. But obviously, there must be something before that or more recent than that. Okay. And then one final point about this game and predicting this game that I have found. There's a screenshot from an episode of The Simpsons that shows Cincinnati versus LA in the Super Bowl, with Cincinnati winning 34-31. Now, I'm sure we've all seen the other Simpsons predicting the future conspiracy stuff. If you don't know, you know, they've like predicted some stuff with like 9/11 and coronavirus and anything under the sun.
President Trump, all that stuff. Yeah.
President Trump, exactly. So is that a factor, Dante? Is that a factor?
Now, see, this changes everything.
Doesn't that change things? I feel like it is a factor. You might want to take it
now,
to account.
Now, is it legit, or did someone go back and redo it?
You know, I did not work that hard to verify my source. I just saw a picture of it on the internet.
On those interwebs?
Yeah.
I'm going to do my own research on that. I think no, you can't. You can't change it by that. I think you just have to go based on what you know and what you feel, and then go from there.
I think what you should do with that information is maybe, I know like the odds, whenever you guess the exact score of a game, the odds are like through the roof, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe just put down like $5 or $10 on the game being 34 to 31. And then if by some miracle that goes through, you can say, I knew.
Knew it. I knew it.
That's maybe what, that's maybe what
Simpsons.
All right. Now we have some bets that aren't as football related.
Okay.
So the first one that I saw was, what will the first song of the halftime show be? So just to recap, the performers are Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, Eminem, and Kendrick Lamar, and one other person who I'm forgetting. Is a woman that's going to perform as well.
Mary J. Blige.
Yes. So the odds on favorite is California Love, which is a song I don't know if you know it.
I do.
Okay.
and you not knowing it is actually pretty damn funny.
So, but I know the other two. I know the next odds on favorite, or the second place, is The Next Episode by Dre.
Right.
And then the last one is Family Affair. So the reason Cali Love is number one is because California, obviously, right. It's in LA.
The only problem is that featured Tupac. So now there was rumored or a question about whether or not they were going to try to do the Tupac hologram.
Mm-hmm.
So if they do that, then sure, that could be. But would that be the first song? I don't know. Yeah, that would be something that, you know, just bring the house down and, mm-hmm. you know, have grown people passing out type of thing. So
it's certainly imprecise science when we're guessing.
So it's those three songs, but is there an option for none of those songs?
An option for none. I'm sure there's an option for any song you like that is like likely enough. Those are just the top three that I grabbed.
Ah, okay. Well, it's definitely not going to be Family Affair. That's Mary J. Blige. What was the second one?
The Next Episode. Da 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 da. It's a
motherfucker.
That's a. Forgot, that's what a I forgot possible. About Dre? What if I forgot about Dre? That might be a good one. Is that too like?
But I too focused on him? I think the way that it would work is if they all kind of run together.
Mm-hmm.
And so by that I mean, you can start with Snoop Dogg, roll into Kendrick Lamar, and then maybe do Forgot About Dre, and so that he can do his stuff at the end, you know, type of thing. But I don't know. It's interesting. It's an eclectic mix of performers to begin
with. I could also see Still Dre coming up, because, you know, that's the iconic piano intro, like,
mm-hmm.
blah, 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 blah. And that could be and that has Snoop Dogg in it. I mean, right. That could be like a pretty good start. I don't know. I would say not those three, maybe. I would guess maybe not those three.
I agree.
Cali Love, maybe.
Not those three. Yeah.
All right. Here's a great one that I really like. The odds of Snoop Dogg lighting up on stage. They are currently Noah's favorite at minus 450. So I think that's probably because people are guessing it's a family event.
Right.
And they're going to try and get him not to. But, I mean, weed's legal in Cali. And you can try and stop Snoop Dogg all you want. And,
I think it would be no. I think
probably
it would
be
definitely no on that. So.
That'd be awesome if it did, though. Because
I mean, I'm here for it.
And then one final thing. Or, okay, actually, anthem length. This is in seconds. The over-under is at 97 and a half. Now,
who's singing it?
I forgot. I'm gonna tell you in a second.
Okay.
But, so I did some research about, or I read, was reading the article about why this, you know, they were like explaining the odds.
Uh-huh.
And Mickey Guyton. That's who it is. Don't know who that is. But apparently, I got two pieces of information, Dante. The reason is that 97 and a half is because Mickey Guyton performed a national anthem or two earlier in the season. And 97 and a half is approximately how long it took her. But the last 11 Super Bowls have had an over 100 second long national anthem. Mm-hmm. So
I am going to
the money would be over, right?
Yes, that's what I was just thinking. I would go over just because again, it is the Super Bowl, so it's the pinnacle. She's never sung it at the Super Bowl before, right? So right. you want that stage to show off, because I've never even heard this person. So this is your stage. You show off, you show your range, and make it happen.
Make it last longer than 97 and a half seconds. I think that's true.
Now, one thing that I do know about anthems, this one might be a little bit different because, again, it's inside and it's in a dome, but they always do have a flyover. So the anthem has to coincide with the flyover. Whoa. Have you ever noticed that when you're at
interesting.
The stuff?
Yeah. I mean, never consciously.
So they actually have, you know, someone in front of the singer who's in tune to let them know, okay, how far, yeah, right, exactly. So that it ends right when the flyover is happening. So it's a well-coordinated situation. But again, we are in a dome, so it doesn't really matter that much. Saying all that, I'm still going over 97 seconds. And there it is.
All right, sounds good. Also, I was looking and they said that no legal U.S. betting places are actually selling you that you can't actually bet on it. You can only bet on it in like foreign offshore, you know, shenanigans places.
Shenanigans.
So then the final little point I had is there was a story last year. There was a streaker last year. Mm-hmm. And it came out that he himself had bet $50,000 that there would be a streaker, and then proceeded to be said streaker.
My man.
And the follow-up to that was Vegas ended up just refunding all bets about streakers. Because
really?
They were like, this is not fair.
Okay.
So now, here's what I think, Dante.
Okay.
I think the smart money is to bet that there will be a streaker again, because someone's going to see that plan and say, you know what? I can do it better. I'll just get my mom to put the bet down.
Smart,
and I'll keep
right.
my damn mouth shut. So I think that story reached a lot of people. A lot of people, and one person might be able to actually
able to pull it off. I'm gonna go with no. And it's because, did you see the prices on those tickets
for Super Bowl this year?
I don't think people can afford to go in there, show your ass, and get locked up. So I'm going to go with no on that. No streakers this year. None.
The type of folk who would show their ass on national television.
Yeah. I mean, it might be a streaker at halftime, but she might be a part of the show. You know what I'm saying?
Fair enough. All right. Well, that wraps up what I have, Dante.
All right. Well, I guess we got to get to it. We got to get to the predictions. Who you got winning?
So I'm gonna feel, I, you know, I do like the Joe Burrow story, you know, the zero to hero. He's a cool guy. And if you ask me who I'd be pulling for, maybe the answer is a bit different. I think the Rams are going to win.
Okay. All right. I agree with you. I think the Rams, like we talked about before, they've gone all in this season. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't happen, then then McVay will be probably be looking for a job in the next two seasons, because they don't have any first round picks for a couple years. They've done all the trading they can do. They've signed all the free agents they can do. Everyone's paid. I mean, you know, your left tackle is probably in his last season. Wentworth, yep, who came from Cincinnati. So
he's a beast.
So it's either now or never. So I think they're gonna do it. They're gonna be now. And then Cowboys next year. So I mean, you know, it's all
All right, well, there you go.
There you have it. The picks are in. No going back now. We'll come back next week with the post Super Bowl debrief. Mm-hmm. And that is that. So tell everyone good night, Blockhead.
Good night.
Good night, everyone. We'll be right back.